This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The double bind of icebreakers, why being warm and direct feels risky. The tension between warmth and authority starts before you say a word. In short, the double bind of icebreakers forces a choice between warmth and authority at the exact moment. You need both. That tension is not personal timidity. It is a structural feature of how opening exchanges get filtered through social expectations, and it is far more workable once you understand the mechanism behind it. Being too warm reads as soft. Being too direct reads as cold. The room is already assessing you before the icebreaker question is asked. Strategic positioning, framing your role before you speak, closes the gap. Definition: the double bind in icebreakers is the communication trap, where the same opening exchange that requires warmth to build connection also requires directness to establish authority, and where leaning too far in either direction carries a perception cost that undermines the exchange before it begins. There is a particular kind of hesitation I have watched people experience before they open a meeting. Not nervousness about the agenda, not concern about difficult colleagues, something subtler, a quiet uncertainty about how to begin, how warm to be, how confident. Whether to open with a question that invites genuine connection, or whether doing so will make them look like they are not quite in control, that hesitation is the double bind of icebreakers in action. It is the tension between two things you need at the same time: enough warmth to get people talking, and enough directness to signal that this exchange has a purpose. In my experience, most people feel this tension without ever naming it. They chalk it up to nerves, or to the vagueness of icebreakers as a format, and they muddle through. But the tension is real. It has a specific cause, and once you understand what is actually producing it, you can work with it deliberately. This is what I explore in Say It Right Every Time for Women, specifically in Chapter 1 and Chapter 3, where I name the mechanism directly: the double bind, the perception gap, and the discipline of strategic positioning. The concept belongs to anyone who has ever felt caught between needing to connect and needing to lead. Why the opening moment of a meeting carries so much weight. Most people treat icebreakers as low stakes. A quick question to warm the room before the real work begins. Something about weekend plans, or two truths and a lie, or a prompt about what animal you would be if you could choose. Light, disposable, forgettable. That framing misses what is actually happening. When you open a meeting, every person in the room is already making an assessment. They are reading your energy, your tone, your posture, your confidence. The icebreaker question is almost incidental. What they are registering is the quality of your presence before you say a word, and the authority in your voice when you do. This means that opening exchange is never low stakes. It is the first data point the room collects about you, and it lands before anyone has consciously decided to evaluate you. The icebreaker is not just a warm-up. It is an audition you did not know you were giving. You can find more on managing the room dynamic in the article on how to deal with dominant voices in a discussion, which deals with what happens when the opening frame collapses under pressure. The double bind that makes warmth feel dangerous. Here is the truth of it. When you open with warmth, some rooms will interpret that as permission to take you less seriously. When you open with directness, some rooms will interpret that as coldness. And the bind tightens because those two readings are not random. They follow patterns shaped by who you are, what the room expects from someone who looks like you, and what kind of authority the group has already assigned you before you opened your mouth. In Chapter 1 of Say It Right Every Time for Women, I describe the double bind precisely. If you are too soft, you are not taken seriously. If you are too direct, you are called abrasive. That formulation came from decades of watching people navigate this trap, and from seeing how many skilled communicators internalize the problem as a personal failing rather than a structural one. The double bind is not about your ability to communicate. It is about the filter your words pass through. I call this the perception gap, the distance between the message you send and the interpretation an audience receives after filtering it through their own social expectations and biases. That gap is always present in human communication, but it widens considerably at the opening of a meeting, when the room has the least context about you and the most freedom to project their assumptions. The practical consequence is this. When you craft an icebreaker, you are not just choosing a question, you are choosing a tone that will be read through whatever lens the room already holds. The same words produce different results depending on who delivers them, and that is not a flaw in the words. It is the system of perception those words travel through. what the tension looks like when it plays out. Let me give you three scenes, all familiar to anyone who has run meetings for more than a year. The first, a woman leads a new project team. She opens with a light icebreaker to build rapport, something gentle and playful. The room responds, but loosely. When she moves to the agenda, she notices people are still in social mode. Getting them to settle takes effort, and she senses she has given up some ground she cannot quite account for. The second, the same woman, a different meeting. This time she opens directly. Clear agenda, clear purpose, a brief and efficient icebreaker delivered crisply. The meeting runs well, but two people mention afterward that she seemed intense and that the opening felt a bit cold. Nothing was said about the quality of the work. The third, a man, opens the same kind of meeting in roughly the same way as the second scene. He is described as focused and efficient. Nobody mentions coldness. This is emotional labelling in operation, a concept I outline in Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time for Women. Emotional labelling is what happens when a valid communication choice gets reinterpreted through the lens of perceived character rather than actual behaviour. The woman in Scene 2 did nothing wrong. Her execution was sound, but the room's biased filter reframed directness as coldness and warmth as an invitation to drift. The perception cost was real even when the communication was technically correct. Understanding this does not make the bias disappear, but it does change what you do about it. If you know the filter exists, you can work upstream of it. That is where strategic positioning comes in. For further reading on how this plays out in team settings, the Guide on Running Inclusive Meetings with Diverse Teams covers how to hold a room across genuinely different expectations and communication styles. Strategic positioning, the frame you set before the icebreaker lands. Strategic positioning, as I describe it in Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time for Women, is the discipline of framing a conversation and your role in it before you deliver your core message. Think of it this way. Strategic positioning is like telling the audience what genre of movie they're about to watch before the opening scene. You set the frame. The room interprets everything that follows inside it. Applied to icebreakers, strategic positioning works like this. Before you ask your opening question, you say something brief that tells the room three things: why you're here, what you intend, and what kind of space this will be. Not a speech, a sentence or two at most. The goal is to give the room a frame before their assumptions fill the gap. Here is what that looks like in practice. Instead of opening with the icebreaker question directly, try. Before we get into the work, I want to spend 2 minutes making sure we all know each other a little better. Strong decisions come from teams who trust each other's instincts. So I'll start. That one sentence does several things at once. It frames the icebreaker as purposeful, not decorative. It positions your warmth as intentional leadership, not lack of authority. And it tells the room that you have chosen to start this way, rather than defaulting to it. The icebreaker that follows lands inside the frame you set. The room does not have to interpret it through their assumptions, because you gave them a better frame first. The scripts in Chapter 3 offer variations on this approach across different high-stakes contexts. The underlying principle is always the same: execution changes interpretation, not identity. You do not have to become a different kind of communicator to navigate the double bind. You have to set the room's expectations before your first real sentence arrives. This connects directly to the practical guidance and effective icebreakers for team meetings, which covers question design and sequencing once your frame is in place. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Why most people skip this step. The rehearsal trap, another concept from Chapter 3, is worth naming here. Most people who prepare for meetings rehearse their content. They think about their agenda, the slides, the arguments they might need to make. They do not rehearse the opening. They assume the icebreaker will take care of itself, because it is informal. That assumption is exactly backwards. The opening is the moment that sets every subsequent interaction's tone. Getting it right requires the same preparation as any high-stakes part of the meeting. More, perhaps, because the opening is when the room is most attentive and least forgiving. There's also a subtle trap, the belief that preparing the opening frame will make it feel scripted or inauthentic. I have heard this concern for decades. People resist strategic positioning because they want to seem natural. But natural and prepared are not opposites. Every skilled communicator you admire is prepared. the preparation just becomes invisible through practice. This connects directly to how you structure the whole meeting environment, something the article on how to run productive meetings that don't waste time addresses in practical terms. The cost of skipping preparation is not just an awkward opening. It is every conversation you do not have because the perception cost of that first exchange was too high. As I write in Say It Right Every Time for Women. Every conversation you do not have because the perception gap makes it too expensive is a cost you pay quietly. That cost compounds. The team that never fully gels. The meeting that never quite hits its stride. The relationship that never builds the trust it needed. Four adjustments that close the perception gap at opening. These are execution adjustments, small, specific changes to how you open that shift how the room receives you. They do not require you to change your personality. They require you to be more deliberate with the first 30 seconds. Frame before you ask. One sentence before your icebreaker question tells the room why you are starting this way. It signals purpose and choice, which reads as leadership. Go first. Answer your own icebreaker question before you hand it to the room. This models the tone you want, reduces hesitation, and shows that you are participating, not performing. Respond to the first answer with genuine engagement, not a polite nod. A real response. This tells everyone else in the room that the exchange is safe and that you are actually listening. You can build on this with the techniques in how humor can ease workplace tension when used right, which covers how light engagement can reinforce safety without sacrificing your authority. Bridge to the agenda with a connecting line. After the icebreaker, do not just announce the agenda. Link what just happened to what comes next. That's actually a good lens for what we're about to work through. This closes the perceived gap between warmth and purpose. None of these are complicated. All of them require practice before they feel natural. For virtual settings, the same principles apply with slightly different execution, which the Guide on Best Practices for Virtual Meeting Communication covers in full. And if conflict surfaces in the meeting itself, how to handle conflict during meetings gives you a clear method for holding the room without abandoning the warmth you built at the start. Frequently asked questions. What is the double bind in icebreakers? The double bind in icebreakers is the impossible choice between being warm enough to connect and direct enough to be taken seriously. If you lean too soft, people underestimate your authority. If you lead with confidence, you can seem cold or unapproachable before the group has warmed up. Why do icebreakers feel awkward or riskier at work? Icebreakers feel risky because the opening moment of a meeting carries more social weight than people expect. You are being assessed before you speak. Any mismatch between your warmth and your authority gets amplified in those first 30 seconds, making the exchange feel high stakes than the question itself. How do you use icebreakers without losing authority? The key is strategic positioning. Frame your role and intention before the icebreaker lands. A brief sentence that signals why this exchange matters sets the room's expectations. The icebreaker then arrives inside a frame you chose, not one the group's assumptions imposed on you. What is strategic positioning in communication? Strategic positioning is the discipline of framing a conversation and your role in it before delivering your core message. It tells the room what kind of exchange is about to happen, so the first words land inside the frame you set rather than the frame their bias or expectations would otherwise impose. Does the double bind affect everyone who opens a meeting? The double bind affects everyone who opens a meeting, but the perception cost is unequal. The same tone and the same words read differently depending on who delivers them. The gap between what is said and what is heard is wider for women, making the need for deliberate framing more pressing, not less. How can I run more effective icebreakers in team meetings? Start by setting a clear frame before the icebreaker question. Tell the group why this matters. Keep the question specific enough to invite a real answer and respond to the first person who speaks with genuine engagement. This signals to everyone else that warmth and seriousness can coexist in the same room. The double bind of icebreakers will not disappear. The perception gap is built into the system, not into you. But the gap can be narrowed, and the opening exchange can work for you rather than against you, once you stop treating it as decoration and start treating it as the first real move of the meeting. Competence without communication is invisible, and communication without deliberate framing is a gift to the room's assumptions. Set your frame first. The icebreaker follows. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit imonblackthorne.com to get your copy.